I was looking around. I seem to have lost my PowerPoint clicker. So, boys, I'm going to have to tell you when to switch the slide for me. So just keep that in mind back there. Let's have a prayer, and we'll begin with our study. Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you for your truth. And Father, we know that you have given it to us, that it is right, that it is holy. We pray, Father, that you would help us as we're about to speak about this morning, that you would help us to run the race with endurance, with perseverance. Father, I pray that those in here would never give up when it comes to following you. I pray, God, that we would be able to cast aside the things that might hold us back or trip us up, and that we would be your people, your church, the way that you would desire us to be. Father, I pray for Brother John Price and the sickness he's going through, as well as all those others on our hearts and on our prayer list. Father, I ask that you'd be with us now during this time, and that you would help us as we open up your word. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm not a runner. I'm never going to be a runner. And you might say, well, Ben, whatever you set your mind to, you can do. Exactly. I'm never going to be a runner because I don't want to be a runner. Right? I've never enjoyed it. It's not my thing. But as we just heard in our passage this morning, we are told as Christians to run a race with endurance. You know, throughout the Bible, there are these times in which the writers of the New Testament use this metaphor. Paul would say, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. He would say that an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. He would say that in a race, all the runners run. And here in Hebrews, we're told that we are to run with endurance. And so because I don't have any experience, I started doing a little research on what it would take to run a marathon. Because when talking about the Christian life, he says we've got to run with endurance, with perseverance. It's not just a sprint, a short little thing, but it is a marathon, this life that we're living. And so, as I was looking at this, there's some things that you might need if you are going to plan to run a marathon one day. One thing is that we need commitment, right? We need to find a good training plan, and we need to stick to it. As I mentioned, I'm not a runner, but if I was going to say, okay, I want to run a marathon in the future, it would take work. I'm not in good enough shape to be able to run those miles and be able to keep that steady pace throughout the whole thing. And so there would need to be a commitment. I'd have to find a training plan. I'd have to stick to it. There'd have to be motivation. All right, you have to find some reason to keep going. When you're training and the weather's crummy and you feel bad and you just don't want to do it, there has to be something that gets you off the couch on the road to continue pressing forward. And when it comes to a race itself, there are times in which after you've run for several miles, maybe you get weary, you get tired, you may think, oh, I just want to give up. We need the right gear, the right clothing. If we're going to run a race with endurance, if I show up for a marathon wearing my suit that I'm wearing today, I'm probably not going to do very good, especially with these shoes on. They're terrible, right? My feet would be killing me. In fact, I was reading one article and this lady said, yeah, I spent $17 on one pair of socks to prepare for this race. Sometimes even those little things maybe can make a difference. And we have to have the right nutrition. Right? When preparing for a race, runners aren't just supposed to eat whatever. I would imagine you're not supposed to go to McDonald's right before you run a marathon. Right? It probably wouldn't be very good. And as Christians, we are in this race. Right? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, let us run with endurance. We need a commitment that will keep us going when things get tough. We need a motivation that is set before us that we can look at and it can spur us on. We need the right type of preparation, the right clothing, the right nutrition in a spiritual sense to be able to run the way that we're called to run. But you know, that very phrase, run with endurance, the race set before us, it implies something, doesn't it? It implies that there will be days, there will be times in your life of following Jesus that you will get tired, that you will be tempted to give up, that you will think it's just not worth it, or maybe I should just do the bare minimum to squeeze by. But if we develop that attitude, we will never win the prize. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, go ahead and go to our next slide. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, he says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Paul says, look, this is my attitude. I run in such a way as to win the prize. I discipline myself. I exercise self-control. I keep my body the way it needs to be so that I can run this spiritual race. But sometimes as Christians, maybe we forget just how important it is to discipline our bodies, to train ourselves spiritually to run this race. Sometimes we forget the things that will hinder us, the things that will trip us up. And so this week and next, I have the great privilege of being able to share with you this idea of running the race with endurance. Let's look at our passage in Hebrews once more. In chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Go ahead and go to the next slide. You know, it's easy for us sometimes to read a passage like this and forget its context. But if you were the original recipients of the book of Hebrews, you would realize that the chapters and verses were not there originally, right? It was a letter. It was something that came to you as one piece. And so when you picked this up and you read it, you would have read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, right after you finished reading Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us about this great cloud of witnesses. These people, these godly men and women who by faith did amazing things for the Lord. He speaks of people like Abraham who by faith left his homeland, left his family, and followed the Lord. He speaks of Moses. Moses who looked at the fleeting pleasures of Egypt and decided, "I'd rather follow God." People like his parents who saw that he was a child that they should save from Pharaoh. And so they put him in that basket and sent him down the Nile. The people who crossed the Red Sea, Rahab, Joshua, Samson, all these people are mentioned as these great examples of faith. And as we're running this race with endurance, I think it's good for us to know we're not the only ones in this, are we? We have one another, the body of Christ, to support us and build us up, but also we have this great cloud of witnesses that have ran the race before us. One young lady said about running a marathon, she said that the support of the crowd can't be underestimated. If they see your name, they will cheer you on. And she says, "On my long runs, when the joints are aching, when my legs feel heavy, when I think about the finish line, I picture my family waiting for me, cheering me on. And I feel tears well up in my eyes, chills run down my arms as I imagine that moment. I see the metal around my neck. I feel the sense of pride and satisfaction in saying that I did it. And all of a sudden, I find the strength to push through." And she's talking about a physical race, but how much more so for us as Christians? When we feel tired, when we feel like when we feel like we're just at the end of our rope and we want to give up, that great cloud of witnesses should be there to spur us on. And so he says, We are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, so let us, and the English Standard Version says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin. See, if you read Hebrews 11, you'll see a couple things. And these will be on the PowerPoint. Number one, how did they run? They threw off what hindered them. They threw off what hindered them. And number two, they looked towards God. Look back in Hebrews chapter 11 just for a moment. In verse 24, and we read about Moses. Hebrews 11 verse 24, it says, by faith Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered that the reproach of Christ was of greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking toward his reward. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's palace. He could have easily said, you know what, I'm just going to live the easy life. I'm going to enjoy my wealth. I'm going to enjoy these material blessings. But it says he threw off the fleeting pleasures of sin. He took off everything that hindered him, and he looked towards God, and he ran the race with endurance. Up on your screen, you'll see a couple different versions of this verse. In the New Living Translation, it's paraphrased this way. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And then the NIV would paraphrase it this way as well. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Church, if we are going to persevere and run the race and finish strong, we have got to be serious about taking away the things that hinder us, about removing the things that will trip us up. We have got to have a serious attitude that says, I'm going to take away everything that weighs me down, everything that trips me up. So let's talk about the things that may weigh us down. Next slide. And go ahead and click it again. You see, sometimes in the Christian life, this is how we try to dress ourselves, to run this race. We put on all these layers. We get these things on and we think, all right, I'm ready. I'm comfy. I'm warm. I'm cushioned if I fall, and I'm going to win this race. My son Jackson has been walking for a while. He learned to walk really pretty young in his life. And he was walking last year around January and February. And so we would like to take them out in the snow. And this is about how the poor little guy looked. Right, he was all wrapped up in this giant snow suit, these mittens that were like twice the size of his hands, you know, giant snow boots. And this poor little guy who just learned how to walk, he couldn't make it but two steps without falling over. Because he was weighed down with so many layers, so many things, he simply could not walk, let alone run. And sometimes as Christians, maybe that's how we are. We put on all these extra worldly things. Things that may not be bad, they may not always be sinful, but they're things that just pull us down, that keep us from running the race God has set before us. It might not be sin, it might be something good, but it may be something unnecessary. Let me give you a couple examples from the Scripture. Go ahead and click through our next slide and you'll see the references on there. In Matthew 19, verses 20 through 21, we see this rich young ruler. You guys remember him, right? He comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, what do I need to do for eternal life? And Jesus says, well, follow the law, right? Do not steal, do not commit adultery, honor your father and mother, all these things. And he says, hey, I've done all that. What do I need to do? What does Jesus say? One thing you lack. He says, go sell all you have, give the money to the poor, come follow me. Is it a sin for us to have money, to be wealthy? No. Is it a sin for us to have nice possessions? No. But Jesus was able to look at the heart of this young man and he realized that's the thing that's holding you back. That's the thing that's weighing you down. It is a love of money, a love of possessions. And so he says to this young man, if you are willing to give up everything that you have, then you can come follow me. And you remember the end of the story, don't you? He went away sad. In Luke chapter 9, several people come to Jesus. And they say, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says to one, foxes have holes in the ground, birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Another one comes and he says, I'll follow you, but let me first go say goodbye to my family. And Jesus says, person who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Another guy says, I'll follow you, but let me first go bury my father. And Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. Now, home, family, all those things, they're not bad things. They're not sinful things. But they're things that were weighing these people down. And so if you will go ahead and go to our next slide here, we need to ask the question, what is it that weighs you down? What is the thing that keeps me from following Jesus the way that I should? We must be willing to lay aside every weight, every burden that might keep me from following my Savior with my whole heart, my whole strength, my whole mind, my whole soul. Church, there are things that we do as individuals, there are things we do as a church that are not sinful, they're not necessarily wrong in and of themselves, but I see them pulling us away from following Jesus the way we need to. We're trying to run this race, we're trying to push forward, but we've got so many weights on us, so much baggage, that sometimes we cannot run the way God would desire us to run. And so every individual needs to ask this question of themselves. What is it that weighs me down? Jesus didn't tell everyone, sell all you have. He didn't tell everyone, go leave your homeland and your family. But Jesus knew the thing that was keeping them from following Christ. What is the thing that is weighing you down? What is the thing in your life that's pulling you away from God and His people? What is the thing that is keeping you from serving, that is keeping you from sharing your faith? What is that thing that is keeping you from being in the Word of God? That's the thing that has to go. And so He says, we lay aside, we cast off every weight, everything that weighs us down, but also we need to throw off everything that trips us up. He says, the sin that so easily entangles, the sin which clings so closely, the sin that trips us up. Well, I tried to make a big deal a moment ago of saying some of these things are not sins. Church, there are things that come into our life, that we allow in our life, that are sinful, that the Bible clearly says they must go. They cannot be a part of our life. You see, it would be wonderful, at least in my mind, if when I was baptized, God just took me up to heaven right then. Right? I'm clean, I'm washed, I'm pure. God, just take me. But He doesn't do that. Why doesn't He do that? Because He wants you to run the race. He wants you with endurance and perseverance to keep pushing forward. He wants you to be the body of Christ here on earth. And if God took away every Christian as soon as they were baptized, well, the body of Christ wouldn't be here to share the good news with others. And so we're here, but yet sometimes sin clings to us. In James chapter 1, verse 21, and I'm reading this verse out of the New American Standard, it says, therefore, put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. There are things that cling to us even after we are born into the kingdom of God. You know, there are many people who, before they were Christians, they cursed like a sailor. And they're baptized and something in their mind says, okay, I'm a Christian, now I've got to be different. And yet, they hear these words slip out of their mouth even without meaning to. It takes time, doesn't it? Right? The sin can cling onto us so closely. And even in the church, there's sin that sometimes can trip us up, that keeps us from running with endurance. I am so frustrated that so often we see in the news ministers, elders, people who have been running the race, and then you hear that they've done something, they've had some affair, some sin, something has crept into their life that they've allowed to linger there, and all of a sudden their ministry is destroyed. Their credibility is destroyed. And sometimes they even let their faith be destroyed. And they stop running with endurance. See, in the church, sometimes we have sins that we hide, that we keep to ourselves. Apparently it's time for my sermon to end because the invitation song just popped up. We'll end in just a minute. There are sins that we keep to ourselves that are hidden. Right? Things that maybe we get addicted to, drugs, alcohol, sexual things, things that no one knows about. Sometimes we hide these things and no one knows but God. And maybe there's something in your life that you need to get rid of. There are some sins in the church it seems like we just accept. Things like pride, self-righteousness, gossip. There are these things that sometimes we don't take seriously, but listen to the words of Christ. This should be our next slide. Matthew chapter 18, verses 8 through 9. Jesus says, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet be thrown into the eternal fire. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the fire of hell. Church, we need to take sin seriously. This is not something we can just mess around with. It's not something that we can just shrug off and say, you know, everyone sins, everyone falls short, it's not a big deal. And while it's true, we all sin, we all struggle, we need to do everything we can to throw that sin off, to cut it off, to throw it away, because it is better for you to enter life all cut up, bloodied, bruised, crippled, than it is for you to be thrown into the fires of hell. And so we must take off everything that weighs us down and everything that hinders us. Last winter, Katie and I, we went on a little date. We went out to dinner, and we love Red Lobster. And so we went to Red Lobster, and they were having this special, and it was a lobster mac and cheese. Now, Brian has given me the nickname the wood chipper because he's seen me eat. And that night was no exception. I took that lobster mac and cheese. It was heavy. It was rich. I ate the whole thing. And then we decide, oh, we'll go. We'll walk around. So we go to a mall and we're walking around. It's winter. I've got my winter coat on. My belly is full. And all of a sudden I hear a lady yelling, my purse, my purse. Someone stole my purse. And I see this young girl running through the mall who stole this lady's purse. And so I run after her. And I gave you all that information about my food and my coat because, yes, a girl outran me and I didn't catch her. But I'm running after her and the coat is on me, my belly's full, and I just couldn't catch up to her. And I run out of the mall just as she jumps in her friend's car and they drive away with that purse. I wasn't able to find this lady's purse. I was able to go and pray with her afterwards, which I was thankful for. But I couldn't catch her. Why? Well, I'm going to say it's because I was weighed down. It's because my belly was too full. My coat was too heavy. She got a head start, right? I wasn't able to catch her. And while we laugh and joke about this, maybe in the Christian life, that's how we are. We've eaten too much. We've got too many layers on. And we just can't run the race with endurance. You know, next week, we're going to look at looking to Jesus. But just for a second, look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame. Jesus wouldn't let anything hold him back from doing what God sent him here to do. And because Jesus threw off every weight and every sin, He was able to provide salvation for you and me. And so let's look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Let's run with endurance and let's be the church that He's called us to be. If there's a weight or a burden on your heart, we would love to pray for you, to help you in any way that we can. Maybe there's some sin that's clinging on to you that you know you need to confess and repent of. You could do that this morning. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never begun that race. It doesn't happen simply by coming to church, just by being a religious person, or by calling yourself a Christian. We enter into this race when we submit ourselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we repent of our sins, and we are baptized for the forgiveness of those sins. And when we do that, we begin to run that race with Jesus and with each other. If you're ready to make that decision, if we can help you in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing our song of encouragement.